This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You want to move the game? Lima says yes, I say no. Tradition above all else.
And I am with you.
I didn't go to Ohio State. I don't know.
I am with you. It would feel bizarre if that game was anywhere else. But what I'm worried about happening over time is I think every year it's going to lose a little bit of juice because I don't know if it's always going to be the loser of that game can go on to win the national championship. I'm not saying it's going to be that every year. But the fact that you realistically could lose that game and still have a Big Ten championship game some seasons, I bet that could happen, and then a playoff run, whether that's three games or four games.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine having five more games after the Ohio State-Michigan game? That's crazy.
That's a lot of games, but could you imagine having even more games when it comes to when you add on the playoffs mm-hmm. and you add in everything else? I think that, hey, you know what you do? You just keep playing the game at the time it is. Go ahead. Sit people out. See how it sits with the fan
base.
Well,
I'm also worried.
Because you got to win
game,
after that.
Yeah, Kenny, that game is so physical and it's so different that you have the playoffs right behind it. And I could see some guys making some decisions, especially the Ohio State recruits that aren't from Northeast Ohio or Central Ohio or Southwest Ohio. Sorry, there's just not a lot of good players from Southeast Ohio these days.
Wow.
But if
shots fired.
Those guys that are from California.
Mitch is staring at you through the window.
I know. I'm sorry about that. And from Texas. Like, are they going to put their, let's say, championship hopes on the line in that game? Like, if you're hobbling, going, man, we're talking about that with Darius Garland and the Cavs and Evan Mobley. But can you imagine if you're hobbling that week, based on whoever you play the week before, and you're like, well, I got this game that all the fans care about so much, but wouldn't they rather have me 100% for a playoff run?
Yeah. The only good argument I can make for it, the only good one, is ratings and tradition, which ratings matter above all else, so maybe it would keep it. Traditions change. They were able to move the Rose Bowl up this year. If you're able to move up the
That's
Rose
right,
Bowl,
by an hour.
If you're able to move up the Rose Bowl, I think anything's possible because those people are crazy about that stuff. And if you're able to move up the Rose Bowl, then yeah, I think you do have a crack at moving the game up in the season and doing it in October. And I think it's silly, but if it makes players play, because what will happen, the real conversation is what you're saying. Guys be held out. Ohio State goes, wins a national championship afterwards like they did this year. Michigan does the same thing after losing the game. Then how much does the game matter? You want the game to matter more, and maybe the best way to protect the game, God, I hate to say it, is move the game. But again, I want to hear from Ohio State fans because I went to Akron, and obviously we have our own football problems right now. Won four games last year. I'm going, all right, step forward. Now here's a massive leap back. Just go to FBS again. Wait, FC. Go to 1AA. Please, I'm begging you. Enough of this. And the same thing for Kent State. I got Kent State people. Like, do we want to talk about what their coach was accused of? Do we want to do that? Kent
still,
State fans?
Still
hey, Kent State
fans,
do you want to sit there and get after me on that? I ain't going to say it. I want to. Don't you come after me. You got your own set of problems, Kent State fans. Lord Almighty. All right, Joe in Cleveland Heights. Hello.
Hey, guys. Well, you know, I guess it's a funny thing to think back. About 18, 20 years ago, they moved the game. They moved it from before Thanksgiving to the weekend after. They did so, to your point, Ken, for the TV schedules, the ratings. It was rivalry weekend. They wanted to put Michigan, Ohio State up against Pittsburgh and West Virginia as this big ticket day, and they did that. And now it's been that for 18, 20 years. So, I mean, moving it again for the sake of the players' health, yeah, it depends on what this league and what really, honestly, I think the players will have as negotiation tickets going forward now that they're in more of a control space with the NIL. And Ohio State being obviously one of the most sought-after brands in the entire college football world. So, love to hear more of your thoughts.
So, are you in favor of moving it?
I mean, it already moved when I was at Ohio State.
Okay.
I was one of the last people to get to jump into Mirror Lake the Thursday night before the game.
Yeah,
once they moved it to Thanksgiving, we had to do it on a Tuesday, which to the point of like ending Mirror Lake, yeah, they put up fences, rebuilt it. But also, when you put it on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving break, everybody left town or had, you know, midterms and stuff to finish. So it killed the entire vibe versus the Mirror Lake jump being sort of the kickoff to the Michigan weekend when it was the weekend before Thanksgiving, as far as I know, since like almost the beginning of time.
Joe, I thank you very much for the call and the perspective. 216-474-0092. I know that they've moved it before. I thought historically a lot of times you had that game, and I know way back they would play it earlier in the season and things like that. But I also know like way back, I do believe it was on Thanksgiving weekend, like way back and before television and stuff like that, you would have a Thanksgiving game or you would play the game on Thanksgiving. You would even have a game later in the season if you wanted to, if there was a season or an extra game or whatever. Like there was always that type of possibility that was thrown out there. I think the NIL stuff is interesting. I think we need to keep an eye on the real quick. I think we need to keep an eye on the Nick Saban co-chair stuff and what could happen there because you don't want to go through a season and then have to renegotiate what happens in the postseason, kind of like Nico Iamaleava had happened to him or had go on with Tennessee. I don't think you want to do something like that. Mary Kay is going to join us at 8:22. I want to ask her about the stadium stuff, and I want to ask her about Nick Chubb and everything, and if the ship has sailed right there. Did you see that we could get an alternate helmet again? That we're one of the teams that are actively working on an alternate helmet.
I did.
How much more can you do with the helmet? Once you got the white, that's it. You can't have a brown helmet, can you?
So I was a little confused because what is the difference between this and what they have done before with the alternate helmet?
Well, they had the I don't know what the new alternate helmet will look like. So what do you mean what's the difference between this and the other one?
Well, didn't we've used another helmet before, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we used the white helmet.
So this is just a different. They're saying the story here is that
this is an alternate helmet.
Because I remember the whole thing was the NFL doesn't approve you to be able to have other helmets or whatever.
Yes, that was because of lawsuits. Now they approve you of having other helmets. Well,
okay.
It's the truth. But now that players get to choose their own helmets, you can just paint them however you want and that's it. Before, it was all officially and it was nasty and all this other stuff. I'm just asking, what can you do with the helmet other than what you've already done? Where it doesn't look gaudy and ridiculous,
well,
and so, like something somebody made a joke about him on
social
media. Do we
know for a fact they will not be going with a logo?
No.
So there could be a logo could be in play.
That's the only way I know you would be able to change the helmet.
So what are the potential logos that the Browns could put on their helmet?
Brown of the Elf. Which I don't think it would look good on. It would look weird to me and jarring to me in a way if Brown of the Elf was on the side of the helmet. I would have to get used to it. The other ones, what are the other ones? They already had the white helmet. They've already had white face mask, gray face mask, numbers on the helmet.
A number,
I remember, didn't they have a year where they had CB on the side of the helmet?
Was that a preseason thing?
I think Art tried to do something like that.
Why do I remember seeing that? Not like while I was watching, not like while I was alive, but...
Well, you weren't alive for it, no.
I thought there was a picture somewhere floating
yeah,
of
they
that.
Tried to do CB on the side of the house. I thought they'd try to do it for an entire year. I don't know what you put on the side of the helmet that makes it not... You can't go brown. You can't go black. Black's not part of the color scheme. I know they did like the Halloween jerseys when we did Color Rush and things like that. But that wasn't even black. That was just a really, really, really dark brown, wasn't it? It just looked better than the jerseys they were wearing at the time because they wanted to get away from those jerseys as fast as they could. Because we had people from New York who thought that they were capturing the spirit of Cleveland.
They've had some years where there was the numbers were on the back of the helmet on different sides of the stripe if you had a double-digit
number.
That's
a Steelers thing, so I don't know if I want to do anything from the Steelers. So what are you going to do with the helmet? Do you have any plans to do anything with the helmet?
What about a script Browns?
What color's the helmet?
Wow.
I'm open to this.
You are? Wow. Because, you know, Giants. We've seen Giants on a helmet. And I used to like that.
I think they actually did that to stick it to New York because they had to move the jersey.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the reasoning behind that. Because they were like, Ed Koch was all, I could tell you a whole history story. No one gives a damn. Move on.
I would say probably orange with what would be the script.
White, you know, Browns on the side?
I guess I'd have to see the mock-ups.
I love a script. I love a nice cursive on a side of a helmet. That's cool. But I don't know what you would do other than that. I just don't want them to come out with somewhere like, we're really going to put this up there again. We're going to do this.
What about a dog?
What kind of dog? That drawing that they have of the dog pound stuff? Where each part of the dog's face means something, like this is national treasure? What is it? You're typing up mock-ups over there.
Yeah, I'm looking up to see because they changed it, right? There was a re-envisioning of the Browns dog logo. Yeah, why not that?
I'm going to ask Mary Kay Cabot.
With the collar, the sharp collar.
Why not Brownie the Elf if you're going to do it? I would take some getting used to, but I could get used to that. And plus, okay, they already have it as a logo. If you put it on the side of the helmet, could you do... No, you couldn't do that.
But the thing is, like, do you think today, is the dog pound what it was, you know, in the 80s? No, right?
No,
we all
no,
agree.
No fan area is what it used to be.
But if you wanted to get the dog back into prominence, would that be the way to do it as part of the...
But if it's an alternate helmet, I always think of an alternate helmet as a one-off during a year. Like, this doesn't become new
tradition. Well, the reason I say anytime we would have a national guest on or somebody calling a game or somebody who used to play at Old Municipal, they always bring up, well, the dog pound. Well, nobody in the last 25 years of playing at the stadium ever, like, nobody in that... Does Ray Lewis, would he even bring up the dog pound?
He might. I'm sure he did at one point.
You think he would?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably if they ran back a pick six or something like that and they started giving the gears to the people in the end zone. I don't know. There was a lot of bad memories during those years.
Like, Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't want to talk
about
that.
Does he talk about the dog pound? It feels like it got phased out.
I'm sure just when he wants to troll us and say that he wanted to be a Cleveland Brown, even though he never did, he was a San Francisco 49ers fan. Do we know what Mary Kay would do with the helmet? Do you want to ask Mary Kay that?
She will have ideas.
Mary Kay in 5 minutes on The Fan. Friends, Ken Carmen here for
92.3 The Fan on the Odyssey app. Headline sports news every 20 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. From the University Hospital Sports Desk, I'm Jeff Thomas.
From the Kissling, Nestico, and Reddick Traffic Center, call 1-800-HURT-NOW. This report is brought to you by Woodhouse Spas and Rocky River and Orange Village.
Woodhouse Spas, where pampering is an art and bliss is just a gift card away. Two locations, Rocky River and Pinecrest, offer something for everyone. Treat yourself or a loved one to a Woodhouse Spa gift card. WoodhouseSpas.com.
An accident 480 West past State has the right shoulder closed. Heavy congestion 90 East from West 117 to Carnegie. This is Joe Shekai for 92.3 The Fan.
Donovan Mitchell.
Maybe to the average fan is like, oh, freaking all the Cavs lost. Well, I mean, it happens. It's really hard to go 16-0 throughout the playoffs. But for us, as far as internally, I think it's more so like understanding that we knew that this was going to be a tough team to beat, and we just got to be ready and locked in.
This is the only place to trust for Cavs talk anytime you want. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
There are a lot of people taking thoughts about what they think the new helmet would be, the alternate helmet would be for the Browns.
We are getting one in particular.
Somebody said Matt. I'm like, oh, I'm past Matt. Chrome. I didn't like Matt that much to begin with. Chrome.
Yeah.
Chrome will not take you home.
Do you think Shador would look good in a chrome helmet? Would Shador
would look good in damn near anything.
That's right. Would Dylan Gabriel,
future quarterback of your Browns,
look good in a chrome helmet?
He's actually played in a chrome helmet. He played for Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They've had every helmet.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He has. Looked like a Hell's Angel out there running around. All right, let's get to Mary Kay Cabot. She joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
What do you know about the helmet? Spill the beans.
I don't know anything about the helmet yet.
You lie. You lie to me.
I don't.
Okay, fine.
Maybe I'll find out when we go out to rookie minicamp tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing Shador Sanders. I'll tell you that right now. More on him in just a moment. First, let's get back to Nick Chubb from last week. Has that ship sailed now with the Jerome Ford pay cut?
At the moment, it has, yes. At the moment, it has, because if Jerome had not taken the pay cut, or if maybe the Browns had traded him, it would have opened the door for Nick Chubb to come back. But Jerome taking the pay cut means that he will, for all intents and purposes, be around. And the Browns do not want to have Nick here as their fourth running back, where, you know, he just wouldn't be getting the reps. So unfortunately for him and for Browns fans at the moment, that's really not in the cards to bring him back.
So is it part of it that they're doing him, they felt like they'd be doing him a disservice as the fourth guy? Like, is this something that they could have mutually agreed upon? Because I feel like that would be more of the story.
I do feel like they would have felt like they were doing him a disservice. And I basically wrote that in my column when I wrote this last week, that they don't want him here as the fourth quarterback. Most fans aren't going to want to see him inactive on some game days. Nobody would want that. Nick wouldn't want to be here not getting the reps, not getting the ball. And so I think they want to give him a chance to work somewhere where he can be perhaps even that bell cow back again for someone. You can see what he's doing in that weight room. He's clearing high hurdles. He's squatting 500 pounds. He's trying to show the world that he is back and the best version or a better version of himself than the Browns saw last year. So he's sending a message, and I hope he gets that chance.
Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, we'll see how that one plays out here. All right, Shador Sanders, who do you think the leader in the clubhouse is as far as the rookie quarterbacks? Is it Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders?
Well, it's obviously Dylan Gabriel right now.
Obviously.
Obviously, because of the fact that they passed on Shador Sanders six times in the draft, and they drafted Dylan Gabriel at number 94 overall, which is a pretty high pick. When you're picking in the first three rounds, you expect that player to eventually become a starter for you or a key contributor. So to spend a 94 pick on him, that means you see something in him that tells you that you want to keep him around and you want him contributing on your football team. When you pass on someone six times, that says that you're totally fine with them not being on your football team. So just by virtue of how they drafted these guys tells us a lot about their standing coming in. So yes, Dylan Gabriel will come in ahead. It doesn't mean that Shador can't flip that, but he has to climb his way back over Dylan first.
You know, when there's a quarterback competition, you start looking at who's winning on the margins. And I know it's silly stuff, but fans love this kind of stuff. Shador Sanders getting to town like immediately. Has Dylan Gabriel gotten here yet? Is he done? I mean, obviously now, but those few days that you kept seeing Shador go to local schools and training on some random hill, have we seen that from Dylan Gabriel?
No, we have not seen that from Dylan Gabriel. Now, Dylan did come in. I believe Dylan came in the day after the draft. We didn't get to talk to him the day that he came in because he was coming from Hawaii. And
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities.
and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
And he wasn't with those other guys when they sat up there for the press conference because he wasn't in yet. But I'm sure he did come in, and he, of course, is probably in by now because they have to be on the field tomorrow for rookie minicamp, and they probably have to report today and whatnot. So they will be practicing for 3 days. We will only be out there on Friday and Saturday, not Sunday, and we will not have the quarterbacks until Saturday, which I think is a strategy on the part of the Browns. I think they want to make sure that the other guys in the draft get their stories and get their headlines and get their videos out there before it turns into quarterback palooza. But certainly those guys, will have an opportunity to shine as well. I mean, there are some big other names coming in here too, but it will be very, very quarterback centric. And yeah, I do think that, that Shador strategically got here early to say, I'm not going to be forgotten in this quarterback competition, and I'm also going to do what I said I was going to do on draft day, and that is get involved in the community, give back to young people, and show Cleveland that I'm serious about this.
I love it. Mary Kay Cabin on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we will get to see the quarterbacks throw tomorrow, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Okay, because I want to go see it. I want to go see Shador and Dylan Gabriel too, but Shador. Let's see Shador.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Shador throw in person, and what I will tell you, I went to his Colorado showcase, and I was very, very impressed with the deep ball. He puts great spin and revolution on the deep ball. Now, on the shorter outs and things like that, it wasn't as tight of a spiral on some of those passes, and so I think those are some of the things that he's going to have to work on. And then the other things that he's definitely going to have to work on, and Tom Brady even advised him on this, is to get in that film room and really understand what's going on and be able to know what the defenses are doing to you, so you're not drifting backwards, you're not releasing the ball a lot later than you should. You're not taking all of those sacks to the tune of 94 in his past two seasons at Colorado. That can't be happening here.
Yeah, you wrote about that. Tom Brady reached out to him during the draft, and now they're working out together.
Well, I don't think they're working out together now. I really don't think that can be happening now. He's a minority owner.
Oh, that's right. What, did I see a clip or something like that? Or was, oh gosh, was that AI?
Well, no, it was probably pre-draft because he knows Shador and he knows Dion very well. He even stated that in that podcast. So I just don't think he can be working out with Shador right now. But he has worked with him before and he has advised him and he has taken him on as a mentee. So I do think that that Shador has gotten some really good advice from Tom. And of course, you know, one of those things was to study, study, study. And I'm sure he's doing that.
Mary Kay with us on the hotline. You remember what it was like when Johnny Football was here. National media descended upon Berea, camped out, live shots around the clock, ESPN, NFL Network. Baker, there was, you know, some of that, not nearly what it was for Johnny Football. What do you think it'll be like for Shador?
I think there'll be plenty of that, but I don't know if it'll be to Johnny Manziel proportions. I mean, Johnny Manziel came in here almost as a larger-than-life persona. I don't think that Shador carries that same status or weight that, that Johnny did. He got famous on draft weekend because he fell in the draft. He got very, very, very famous. And I'm not saying that he wasn't famous before that, because he was. He's Dion's son and all of those kinds of things. But he was not Johnny Football when, you know, when he was in college. So I don't think it's going to be that nuts and that crazy. But I do think that one of the issues going on here is the fact that this was not a quarterback year, right? I mean, there are not that many big-name quarterbacks in this draft, and not many of them are taking the field in rookie minicamps last weekend, this weekend, beating out their veteran quarterbacks on the roster. That's just not what's going on. Even Cam Ward, to a certain extent, doesn't really, really move the needle all that much. He's not in a huge market. You know, he's kind of a quieter guy. So it's all eyes on Shador right now for a number of reasons, and that's one of them.
All right, Mary Kay, what are the other battles that you might be interested or at least seeing when it comes to rookie camp? Is there anything that really intrigues you, jumps off the page right now?
Well, first of all, remember, in rookie minicamp, we are not seeing all that much football. It's going to be mostly position drills is what we're going to be looking at. We're not going to be seeing a whole ton of, you know, team drills or 11 on 11s or anything like that. It will be mostly position drills, and then you will see, you know, probably some one-on-ones and things like that, but it's not going to be what it's going to be like when we get to the end of OTAs or the mandatory mini camp in June. But you can still take a lot from rookie mini camp. And for me, one of the most important things that I like to look for is who passes the eyeball test in the uniform, who passes the eyeball test, you know, just out there throwing the ball or catching the ball or running the ball or going through drills, going through bags. Just how do they look physically? Do they look a little soft? Do they need to get in the weight room? And generally some of those guys do. That's one of the first things that you notice about them. They've been out of football for a little while now, and they need to hit the weight room. So are they big? Are they as big as you thought they were going to be or smaller? And I think some people will find that Dylan Gabriel is a little smaller than they thought he was going to be. I've seen him in person. I've talked to him one-on-one at the Senior Bowl, and I think that some people will be a little bit struck by his size, but he plays so much bigger than that, and I think that that's what's going to stand out.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Hey, what's going to happen with Devin Bush? Do you know right off the top, or at least what's the latest? Not what's going to happen, but what's the latest?
They're still gathering information, still looking into it, and I don't know what's going to happen with Devin Bush. That's something that we will get a chance to talk to Kevin about when he addresses the media tomorrow. So we'll know a little bit more of that. But hopefully that you know, that it works out for everyone involved and that everyone is safe. And that no one is in any kind of danger and that it works out for everyone.
Before we let you get on about your day, why am I getting some stealing feeling here that Kenny Pickett will start the season and they'll try to move on from Joe Flacco in some way?
Well, you know, I've been writing that for a long time.
So is that why? Am I reading you in my sleep and I'm just thinking that?
That could be. But no, you guys asked me a long time ago about that issue of who I thought would start the season if the season started tomorrow. And I did say Kenny Pickett at that time. However, that doesn't mean it's going to end up that way. But at the outset, Kenny Pickett has the edge going in. And once again, all you have to do is look at the way these guys were acquired and when they were acquired to know what the Browns are thinking. They went after Kenny Pickett right away when the league year opened, and they traded for him right away. And it wasn't the first time they wanted to trade for him. So they've had him in their sights for a long time. They see something in him where he can be their version, hopefully for them, of a Sam Darnold or something like that. Who knows if it'll work out that way. And then we know how they feel about Dylan Gabriel. I'm not saying that Joe Flacco is going to be gone, but something's got to give here. They're not going to spend the season with four quarterbacks on the roster. So I'm sure that they will hope that someone gets trade offers at some point. And the most likely, I think, to have a team come calling for would be Joe if they have a QB go down. So that's the only reason why I throw him into that category.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cavanaugh.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, I'm getting that. And I remember I got a stealing feeling now. That ain't going to make the fans happy. That makes me nervous because I want them to trust who the veteran is taking over. Maybe they will trust Kenny Pickett, but damn, man, it's just.
Where would you?
I don't want this thing to get off the rails because of the lack of leadership.
Where would you? And we don't have to play the power rank music because we got to go.
Yeah.
Where would you power rank where the fans are?
That's Mary Kay Cabot. You wanted me to power rank. Does Meredith know the power rank music?
Yeah.
You wanted me to power rank this?
I think it's somewhere in the P's on your hot list. So if you're able to find that. And what we do is we play the jingle. I know you're always getting ready for Baskin and Phelps. So you don't want to. We don't want to take you away from your prep every day just to listen to us so you can do our stupid bits.
That's a hardcore show that gets into hardcore arguments, Baskin and Phelps. So I can understand you trying to get excited and get ready for Baskin and Phelps, Meredith. I understand that. I will busk. Wait for the music that I didn't tell her to go find.
Yeah,
she can't find
it's gonna happen.
She can't find it.
Now, Mitch would run in as quickly as he could to try to locate
in a cold sweat
that exact song, because to do the power ranking without the music just seems incomplete. And quite frankly, that's not what our show is all about.
Well, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. Owen is out
today.
Now,
in a perfect world, after Mitch heard me mention him barging in to help out,
he
would have been here already.
Here comes Mitch
to find that exact
to save the day
song,
and
then that way we could do it.
He put the hand up like, "Okay, guys, I got it." Okay. Now they're both looking at it.
Yeah, you see, it's actually under R for rankings.
How many producers does it take to find the power ranking music?
Now, normally Jeff Thomas would barge in and be the third person to come in and find the power ranking music so that we could hit it off in stride.
Call Ken Silverstein. He knows which one it is.
Now, typically.
Now the phone's ringing, Mitch.
Typically, Tim Richards from our sister station would barge in and come in and be the fourth individual to help with the power rank music. so that we could do our power ranking of Browns quarterbacks.
Martin Savage is on the phone to figure out where the power ranking music is.
Now, in the past, we would have callers call up and recite their own power ranking music at 216-474-0092.
There you go.
But
there
during
go.
That time, Mitch would have to answer
this
the phone.
Absolute madness.
And then pass the caller
this
through
is madness.
So they could recite the actual power ranking music.
Insanity is playing out right now.
Now, in the past, they'd go to the coming in hot button on the Odyssey app so that they could go through and tell us the power ranking music.
She can't find it.
You know what really helps is if someone comes over at my shoulder and stares at this same mess of hotkeys that I'm staring
at. What was he doing?
Instead of just telling me what the title is of the song.
Yes.
I just need to know what it's labeled in the system
as. Power rankings.
It's
just
not.
Yell
no,
it out, Mitch.
Now Mitch is
yell
back.
It out.
Now Mitch is
just
back.
Yell out that you don't know.
Mitch is so frustrated.
Mitch, say what you're going to say. We have microphones.
Mitch,
what's the problem? Come over here, Mitch.
Come
over here,
air.
Mitch.
Say
what is the
air.
Problem? Why is
yell
it not on the hotkeys
list? I'm trying to find the label as well. I'm having trouble finding it as well. I'm going to help Meredith with it.
Do you want to reach out to Owen, who is going home to take care of his family, where there's been a death in the family?
He's back home in Oklahoma.
Do you think that would make sense?
He's slamming the door, Mitch.
Do you want to mess with his bereavement leave?
Hey, Mitch, slamming the door will help you find it. That's going to help you find
now,
it. Slamming the door.
Typically, the huffing and puffing and running around
will help you find it.
Will also help you answer the phones to put through the people who want to sing
out.
The power ranking
will
music.
Will help you do your job in finding Ryan Rucco at 922.
Good luck.
I think you guys are just going to have to give up on your dream of the power ranking music, because I would love you to see what I'm looking at right now, because it is a disaster.
On cue, here
Let's
we go.
Let's get Luke in Cleveland. Hello, Luke. All right, who the fans want to be the starting quarterback power rankings. Keep going, Luke. Number one, Joe Flacco. Number two, Shador Sanders.
He's out of breath.
Number three, Dylan Gabriel. Number four, Kenny Pickett.
When does the music bed end?
Thank you, Luke. I wish I could give you Mr. Hero. I hope you win 2 second trivia next week. Thank you so much. Luke
Amazing.
In Cleveland. I wish I had Mr. Hero to give that guy.
We could have had we could have assembled an orchestra.
A lighter in my pocket.
Had them get together in a music studio, put together the actual new power ranking music, put it into the system, dump it into the system, and then play it out over the air faster than what Mitch was just trying to accomplish.
216-474-0092. Do you agree with those power rankings for the fans?
I wasn't listening.
Well,
I was listening to
fans.
Luke the whole time.
I know. Okay, let me do it again. Number one, I think they want Joe Flacco to start. Number two, then I think Shador Sanders.
I think you're right.
Number three, Dylan Gabriel. Number four,
Kenny Pickett.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Pack your tiny gloves and head on out of town.
You can't tell me either if you like Shador Sanders, or it's a curiosity. You can't tell me he's not number two on that list. Number two. Out of morbid curiosity, you want to go, okay, is he actually good? Is any of this crap they're saying actually true? Is he actually good? Joe Flacco's number one with a bullet. I think they want Joe Flacco to start the season. I want Joe Flacco to start the season, so maybe that colors it a little bit. But I think with a bullet, they want him to start the year. Let me get to Brad in Akron. Brad, hello.
I think you're right, Ken Carmen.
Thank you.
And the big thing, and Mary Kay makes a big point about, well, we got Kenny Pickett first. Well, that was a trade, and it was actually a favor that Philadelphia was doing for us and we for them, my humble opinion. I think it was like, we got a quarterback. He's a really nice kid. He can't really play. Would you take him off our hands? Yeah, if you'd be willing to take
Wait,
one
they did
off
that as a charity?
Pretty much. And I don't think that there's one chance in you know where that Kenny Pickett is the starting quarterback of the Browns.
Well, Brad, Andrew Berry's twin brother, Adam Berry, is one of the front office members of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Andrew Berry will join us tomorrow morning at 9:15. Do you want us to ask Andrew Berry that tomorrow morning if we did that as just a favor to the Eagles?
You can ask him. He's never going to tell you.
But we can ask.
You could ask.
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
But here's the other thing. Flacco is the one quarterback we have who has played in Stefanski's system, and he had relative success, correct?
Yes.
All right. That's why I think it's going to be Flacco.
Well, it's not that. Well, so you, it's not that you want. You think it's going to be.
I'm convinced it's going to be, and I do want it. And I do want it to be.
Well, see, that's there, I think there's a difference there, my friend, and I thank you very much for the call, Brad. I think there's something different of what we want and what we're going to get and what we actually think is going to happen. I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett week one. I'm getting that feeling, and it's obviously because I'm reading Mary Kay, but. You know, everybody says, oh, Mary Kay's crazy. There's no – Mary Kay ends up being right every time. 98% of the time, Mary Kay ends up being right. She says something, I go, that Myles Garrett thing, I turn my mic off, I go, what is she talking about? During the Myles Garrett thing, who ended up being right at the end? Mary Kay ended up being right at the end. And when this thing is on, this camera's on full time, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to have to hold up things and cover my face so they can't see me mouthing, what is she talking about? And she ends up being right anyway.
And they never give her credit.
922.
She will not get the credit. They'll just say the next one she's going to miss on.
922, Ryan Rucco going to join us on the show, ESPN. Is there a chance we could get Evan Mobley back tomorrow night? And, Lima, did the NBA admit that the refs lost the game, not the Cavs?
Oh, boy.